ओम नमो नारायण, नाइस टू सी यू नरेश। बढ़िया, आई कांट सी यू बट आई कैन हियर यू। ओम श्रुति स्मृति पुराणा नाम आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पादं शंकरं लोकशंकरं शंकरं शंकराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्तिभेदविभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्तदेहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः। ॐ श्री दयानन्देश्वराय नमः। आई पुट माय रिकॉर्डिंग ऑन, वील सी व्हाट हैपेंस। ओके, या मी टू। ओके, सो नाउ वी लुक एट आवर वर्स। वी आर ऑन द थर्ड वर्स। वाक्यार्थश्च विचार्यताम् श्रुतिशिरः पक्षसमाश्रीयताम् दुस्तर्कात् सुविरम्यताम् श्रुतिमतस्तर्कोऽनुसन्धीयताम् ब्रह्मैवास्मि विभाव्यताम् अहरहर् गर्वः परित्यज्यताम् देहेऽहम् इति रुज्यताम् बुधजनैर्वादः परित्यज्यताम्। I didn't sing it. I'll sing it for you all separately. Okay? So now, we are on this topic of the Tattvamasi Mahavakya. What does it mean? Because we were with Vakyarthascha Vicharyatam. So, Swamiji told us in great detail, you know, how it is not possible for us to believe in the statement because we are so I can't help you, I am sorry, others can hear me. आपकी नेट स्लो होगी। कोमल, यू कैन हियर मी? ओके, सो योर नेट इज नॉट ओके। ओके, सो वी वर ऑन दिस टॉपिक ऑफ महावाक्य एंड स्वामीजी हैज टोल्ड अस इन ग्रेट डिटेल हाउ इट इज नॉट पॉसिबल इजिली फॉर अस टू understand the Mahavakya because there is such a huge contradiction between understanding of Tat and Tvam. So Tat is Ishvara, who is considered as Jagat Karanam, Sarvajna, Sarvashaktiman, Sarvavyapi, and Tvam is good old me, who is Alpajna, Alpavyapi, Alpashaktiman. What a big contradiction between the two. So how on earth are we going to understand this statement Tattvamasi? That has been our topic. Okay? So last time, I think we stopped on page 62. Right? And we were looking at this now, resolving this contradiction. There is an equation between Tat and Tvam. We have said Tat is equal to Tvam. Means Ishvara is equal to, you know, you, Ishvara is equal to you, you are equal to Ishvara, I think. It looks like a huge contradiction. So how are we going to solve this contradiction? This was our big issue, you know. And so now we are on this page 62, looking at this paragraph, resolving the contradiction. So Swamiji says, before that, we looked at this, yes, we looked at that famous statement in the last class. Vacharambanam vikaro namadeyam mrittika iti eva satyam. Very, very important statement which shows us, and I gave you the example of the tumbler and the steel. And we were looking at how tumbler has no existence of its own, right? Tumbler is nothing but steel. And therefore, really speaking, tumbler is not an entity. It's a non-existent entity. It's not there as a separate independent entity. It is just a name for a particular form of steel. Right? We saw that. So, what Vedanta says is, tumbler, the word, is it's only a word which is arising from your speech. It has no reality of its own. the only reality belongs to its cause, which is the steel. And that example is expanded to the world. You know, the world takes the place of the tumbler. So really speaking, Vedanta is saying the world is a non-entity, and the real truth behind the world is only Atma, Brahman, or consciousness, not steel. Now we are looking at the world. We can't say steel anymore. We have to say the only reality is consciousness. Okay? This is what Shastra has to point out, that the world that we think is so tangible and so real is not really as real as we think, because it is no independent existence from the consciousness that one is, the consciousness which is all pervasive, which is Brahman. Everything else, Swamiji has said, is Nama Rupa. It is word and meaning. Let everything differ, you know. So this tumbler is different from the spoon, which is different from the bottle, which is different from this, you know, massager, this thing, which is different from the tennis ball. Everything is different. But all of them are only Nama Rupa of what? They are all Nama Rupa of Atma, of consciousness, of Brahman. Iti. So all of them are Nama Rupas. Another example is, supposing there are many ornaments, okay? So when you know the gold, then you know all the ornaments. So Swamiji says here, on page 62, if you know the cause of everything, which is Satyam, then you have known everything. So this is the original statement of Uddalaka. We saw Uddalaka means in Chandogya Upanishad, there is this very smart young boy called Shvetaketu, who comes home very proud of all his Gurukula learning, extremely proud. And his dad, seeing his pride and arrogance, ticks him off, you know, asks him that, did you ask for that one thing, knowing which everything else can be known? So if you know the cause of everything, which is Satyam, then you have known everything. This is the original statement that Uddalaka had made. So Shvetaketu is then told, you have to know only one thing. That one thing is everything. And that Satya Vastu, Satya means that true Vastu, the truth. Okay? Truth also we saw in Tattva Bodha is defined as Trikale api tishtati, and that which cannot be negated, which is ever the same, I think. So the one thing is everything, and that Satya Vastu, it is Ekam Eva Advitiyam, one non-dual Brahman. That one non-dual Brahman, that one consciousness you are. Amazing, you know, this statement of Shastra. And if I may bring to your mind, when we are saying Brahman, Brahman is the same as consciousness. It is that consciousness you are. And what were the features of consciousness that we saw? That consciousness is not a part, it's not a product, it's not a property of the body or mind. Consciousness is something which is independent of the body and mind. Consciousness pervades the body and mind, and yet it is independent of it, right? It enlivens and illumines the body and mind. This is the nature of that consciousness. And it is Ekam Eva Advitiyam. It is one alone without a second. And it's called as one non-dual Brahman. That is what you are. Meaning the consciousness that you are is like this. It's a big shock, no? I think that I am the consciousness in this little body. But what is Shastra pointing out? The consciousness that you are is Brahman. Because Brahman is Atma. And everything else other than consciousness is just a word arising from speech, It has no reality of its own. It is fully dependent upon consciousness. That's why it is called as Nama Rupa. It has got no substance of its own. The only substance is this consciousness. Therefore, Swamiji writes, you have no other choice here except to understand what Shruti says. So when it is said that you are Ishvara, then between the meanings of the word you and Ishvara, there is an apparent relationship between the, there could be an apparent relationship as qualifier and qualified. We saw this, you know, all this is unnecessary. In fact, we can skip this whole section and just go to the next one. Unnecessarily complicated, you know, what is actually simple looks unnecessarily complicated. So we were looking at this technical description called Samanadi Karanyam, that in a sentence you have two words which are in the same grammatical case and they are referring only to one object. Rama the warrior went home. Rama and warrior are referring to the same person. The pot is blue. Now, in the pot is blue, we had seen that there were two type of interpretations. Here Swamiji is talking about qualifier-qualified relationship in pot is blue. That means blue qualifies the pot. Pot is qualified by the word blue. And the minute you say pot is blue and you have this qualifier-qualified relationship, that means pot is only blue. It is not brown, it is not white. Okay, it belongs definitely to the jati of pots, but it's not blue or white. So qualifier-qualified relationship is there. But between Ishvara and Jiva, this qualifier-qualified relationship is not possible. Because look at that. Ishvara is Sarvajna Sarvashaktiman. How can Ishvara qualify Jiva? And Jiva is Alpajna. How can, supposing we take it the other way around, how can Jiva qualify Ishvara? It's simply not possible. That is not possible. Okay? So I am going, skipping this whole section and going now to page 64 and going to this topping of page 64, second paragraph, last sentence. That's the only relevant sentence for us. Page 64, second paragraph, last sentence. There is a contradiction between the meaning of tvam and meaning of tat. Padartha yoho virodaha. Pada is word, artha. In between the meanings of the words, virodaha, there is contradiction. So now what shall we do? We had seen all this, you know, in Tattva Bodha, it's very beautifully done. In fact, I'm going to bring up Tattva Bodha soon. So, Swamiji says, you should give up. Give up what? You should not give up your effort to understand the statement, but you should give up the Padavachyam, the immediate meaning of the word. And in Tattva Bodha, I was having, you know, I will, afterwards put you all onto the page, in 326, I am going to read out to you how we have done all this beautifully, you know. Stula sukshma sharira abhimani tvam pada vachyarthaha. The immediate meaning of the word you, tvam, is the one who is identified with the physical and subtle bodies. Okay, stula sukshma sharira abhimani is tvam pada direct meaning. That means when I say kalpana, then the meaning is stula sukshma sharira abhimani, and that is the immediate meaning of the word you. Hey, you kalpana, when I say, then I mean the one who is identified with the physical and sukshma sharira iti. Now look at the next sentence which Tattva Bodha says, upadhi vinirmuktam Shuddha Chaitanyam Tvam Pada Lakshyarthaha. Upadhi Vinirmuktam Shuddha Chaitanyam Tvam Pada Lakshyarthaha. The implied meaning, Lakshyarthaha means implied meaning. The implied meaning of the word you, tvam, is pure consciousness, the one who is free from the upadhi. What is upadhi? I sent you all this today, you know. Upadhi is our body and mind is upadhi. Why do we call body and mind is upadhi? Because they seem to limit, you know, they seem to lend their properties to consciousness. Because I think I am the body. Because whatever was the condition of the body, I think it is my condition. When I say I think it is my condition, I think it is the condition of the consciousness that I am. And in reality, consciousness is free of the upadhi. It's free of the body mind upadhi. So when we are looking at the word tvam, we should give up. What should we give up? Swamiji says, give up the padavachyam. Give up the immediate meaning. What is the immediate meaning? The one who is identified, the immediate meaning is the one who is identified with the body mind. So the body mind part, the upadhi, give up that. Not give up physically, but give up your notion that you are the upadhi. Iti. Okay? So give up the. So for the word you, I'm looking at what Swamiji has to say in page 64. At the end, the last sentence, for the word you, the immediate meaning is you who happens to be perhaps 5 feet 9 tall, and in you everything is included, your pleasure, your pain, your memory problems, your individuality, your parentage. This you is the immediate meaning, the padavachya. Vachya means the immediate meaning, the direct meaning, the literal meaning. Now in this sentence is soham, I am that, tatvamasi, you are Ishvara. In such sentences, we are being told that hey, don't take that immediate meaning, because in the immediate meaning the body, mind, sense complex is included. So Shastra is not equating the body, mind, sense complex, you know, you who are, you know, associated with the body, mind, sense complex, that's not what is being equated to Ishvara. So let that go, iti. So I'm skipping a few sentences because again he's talking about this apposition. When we analyze, and I'm in the middle of the second paragraph of page 65, when we analyze the Shastra, we understand that it is not padavachyam, the direct meaning, that is intended, rather it is the padalakshyam, okay, the implied meaning. So we want to look at what is the implied meaning, okay. Now he takes up, you know, something difficult. So put your thinking caps on. I hope you can hear me. This understanding is because of the statement Vacharambanam Vikaro Namadeyam Mrittika Iti Eva Satyam. He is saying, why should you go for the implied meaning? Aap lakshyat ko kyun lena chahiye? Kyunki Shruti mein ye statement hai कि जो भी वाच्य अर्थ है वो सब मिथ्या है, क्योंकि वो सब नाम रूप है. जो भी हमारी वाच्य अर्थ होती है, जैसे कि अभी मैंने आपको ये दिखाया, ठीक है, इसका वाच्य अर्थ हुआ टम्बलर. ये टम्बलर क्या है? ये टम्बलर सत्य है कि मिथ्या है? ये टम्बलर का कारण हमने समझा तो पता हो गया कि हाँ, ये टम्बलर जो है बस वो तो एक शब्द है, उसका कोई अस्तित्व, टम्बलर की कोई स्टील की अस्तित्व तो है, टम्बलर तो बस एक वर्ड है, स्टील के लिए एक दूसरा वर्ड है, स्टील का कोई एक आकार है, उसके लिए एक वर्ड है, वो टम्बलर जैसी वर्ड है, इतना ही है टम्बलर का, उसका अपना कोई अस्तित्व. तो टम्बलर जो है, जो वाच्यार्थ है, वो वाच्यार्थ हमेशा मिथ्या होता है, इसलिए तत्वमसी में शास्त्र की इसमें हमें इम्प्लाइड लक्ष्यार्थ के लिए जाना पड़ा है, क्योंकि वाच्यार्थ जो है वो सत्य नहीं है, वो वाच्यार्थ जो है वो हमेशा मिथ्या रहता है। ठीक है, उसमें कोई अपना सत्य नहीं है, कोई अपना अस्तित्व नहीं है, हमेशा उसके पीछे कोई ना कोई कारण है और वो कारण के पीछे कोई ना कोई कारण है। अंटिल वी अराइव एट एग्जिस्टेंस, होनापन है। सो ऑल द नाम रूपाज आर मिथ्या डिपेंडेंट रियालिटीज। दिस बींग सो द सत्य वस्तु इज ओनली वन नॉन ड्यूअल रियालिटी एंड द एकमेवा द्वितीयम। Therefore, all the differences, meaning between Ishvara and Jiva, उपाधि का difference है, ठीक है? वो differences जो है, उपाधि के स्तर पे है, जीवा के body mind के स्तर पे difference with Ishvara है, Ishvara का माया उपाधि है, तो उपाधि के स्तर पर differences है, भेद है, पर हकीकत में वो भेद नहीं है, हकीकत दोनों ही, दोनों एक अद्वितीय चैतन्य ही है। अभी हमने तत्वबोध में गए, ठीक है, मैं आप लोग को तत्वबोध से दिखा रही हूँ, इतनी सुंदर है तत्वबोध ना, उसमें कोई कंफ्यूजन नहीं आती है। तत्वबोध में लिखा गया है, क्योंकि तत्वबोध में बताया गया कि जो उपाधि विनिर्मुक्त शुद्ध चैतन्यम त्वम पद लक्ष्यार्थ है, the meaning of you is chaitanyam, shuddha chaitanyam, okay? तो स्वामी जी ने इतनी सुंदर तरह से उधर दिखाया ना, मैं आपको पढ़ा के दिखाती हूँ। This shuddha chaitanyam is the implied meaning, the lakshyartha of the word tvam. When I say that you are sitting here, I mean the physical body. Because what is seated here is the physical body, the sthula sharira. If I say that you look like you are hungry, that means I am referring to your prana. And when I say that you seem to be restless, I mean your mind. When I say that you have done this, I mean you are vijnanamaya, your sense that you are the karta. Supposing I say that you are the one in whose presence alone all these are known. You are that consciousness, that self-evident, self-revealing consciousness in jiske astitv mein ye sab kuch hame pata hota hai. You know body, okay? All these are known. Body consciousness, mind consciousness, swamini consciousness, sound consciousness, form consciousness, consciousness of your nature. So in every one of these, okay, these are all thoughts, in every one of these vrittis you have the presence of consciousness, and so that is the meaning of the word you. This is the tvam pada lakshyartha. You means consciousness. Which consciousness? Which is self evident. Okay, so this tvam pada lakshyartha is the implied meaning of the word you, which is pure shuddha chaitanyam, pure consciousness. It's exactly like understanding, you know, because now what did we do? We freed consciousness from the upadhi and we understood consciousness has its own independent reality free of the upadhi. It is like that crystal. Remember, I take the example of crystal. I take a crystal and I put a red flower behind it. Now, to understand, okay, even if you see color in it, you see that the crystal has got red color in it. But supposing you know that the crystal is actually clear, then all you need to do is in your mind you remove the color from it and you understand it as a crystal, right? It's not that physically you have to remove that, you know, crystal color. So upadhi vinirmukta is not physically removing the upadhi. it is understanding that it is upadhi, and it doesn't really have an independent, because that upadhi is mithya, you know, doesn't have its own independent existence. Now, coming back to what Swamiji said in our Sadhana Panchakam on page 65, the last paragraph, when you say I am a karta, a doer, on what basis do you say that? The doership is because you are talking, I am talking, or I am sitting, therefore I am a doer, or I am walking, thinking, and so on. Now consider that every action that you are doing, any action that you are doing, okay, any action which you are doing, consider that. Are you aware of it or not? Yes, you are aware of the action. Abhi main baat kar rahi hun. Am I aware that I am talking? Yes, I am aware. You are listening? Are you aware that you are listening? Yes, you are aware that you are listening. It is because of the action alone that you have a sense of kartritva. You, the conscious awareness, are always present, you know. And in your ever presence, okay, this action takes place. I am like lifting the cup. I am there as consciousness. In my conscious presence, this action of lifting the cup takes place. Talking takes place. Hearing takes place. Breathing takes place. And because I think I am the body, therefore I have the sense of doership, and I think that I am doing something. I am consciousness. Consciousness does not do anything. It is because of the action alone that you have a sense of kartritvam, doership. Without that action, there is no kartritvam. And you are the one who is aware of the action itself. If you are aware of all the actions, then who are you? And here is where we should bring in our good old rule, you know. What was the rule number one? Rule number one is, you are that which is different from everything that you know or can know. You are consciousness, a conscious presence, which is different from whatever is illumined in your presence, whatever you can know. This is our essential beginning, Atma Anatma Viveka, right? You are different from what you know. You know action, you know doership, you are different from that. You are not the doer. You are the one who is aware of the very act of doing. Therefore, the Tvam Pada Lakshya, the implied meaning of the word you, is Shuddham, Kevalam, Chaitanyam, pure consciousness alone. Okay? So we have established what is the meaning of Tvam Pada. It is pure consciousness alone. Let's look at what Swamiji has to say. He has got some very deep things to say. Who are you? What we are doing here is an analysis of the Vedanta Vakyas. You must first ascertain the meaning of the word you, Tvam Padartha. Therefore, when I point at you with my index finger, okay, like this, I am pointing at you, and say that you are seated there, what do I mean? I mean the one who is sitting, right? So you means the body, the physical body. You indicates only what is sitting. That you is the body. You seem to be hungry. Still my finger is pointing at you. What is hungry? Is the skin hungry? No, it is not the anatomy which is hungry, but what is known as prana, the vital force in the body, that is where the hunger is. Still my you continues. So you are seated here, you are hungry, refers first to the body and then to prana. Then you seem to be restless. What do I mean? I mean the mind. It looks as if you did this. You now has become a karta, the doer. Then afterwards, if I say you seem to be ignorant, that you becomes ignorance. Now, suppose I say that you are aware of ignorance. It's true. You are aware that you don't know Russian. So you are aware of your ignorance. So you have to say yes. So when this finger is extended, first it goes and stops at the body. Then it seems to penetrate the body and goes to the prana. Then it goes further to the mind. Then it goes to the karta. And finally it goes to the ignorance also. Then afterwards, where will it go? Because you are the one who has been aware of the body, aware of the prana, aware of the mind, aware of the doer, aware of the ignorance. So it has to finally stop at Chaitanyam, consciousness. You are that consciousness. Can it go beyond that Chaitanyam? No, it cannot go behind or beyond that Chaitanyam. Okay? So this is what Swamiji is saying. That the lakshyartha of tvam is not you who are associated with the body mind sense. It is not the body mind sense complex that we have to shift our attention from the body mind sense complex and shift it to the self evident consciousness that you are. I always have given you an example. For example, when you get up in the morning, okay, you just got up in the morning. Initially, when we get up in the morning, we are not fully aware of our body, mind. It's just that I am, that sense of I am. In that I am, we have not yet joined our body, we have not yet joined our mind. I am. That I am is this tvam pada lakshyartha. It is the consciousness, okay, that we are pointing to, the self-evident consciousness that we are pointing to. Okay, now before coming back to Swamiji, because the topic gets more and more complex, he's taking some very very technical and very good points, but very highly technical. I am going to come back to Ishvara looking at Tattva Bodha. So we have established in Tattva Bodha and Sadhana Panchakam also that Tvam Pada should be looked at as the Lakshyartha, which is consciousness that one is. Okay. Now Ishvara, in Tattva Bodha I was pointed out, evam sarvajnyatvadi vishishta Ishvaraha tat pada vachyarthaha. So it was told, the immediate meaning of the word tat is the Lord, the one who is got sarvajnyatvadi. That means who is sarvajna, who is omniscient, who is sarvashaktiman, you know, who is having all, who is all powerful and who is all pervading. That is the immediate, the vachyarthaha. But earlier we were told that because vachyarthaha belongs to the upadhi, Ishvara has got maya upadhi, and in maya upadhi we've got this sarvajnyatva, sarvashaktimatva, sarvavyapitva, sarvajnyatva, sarvashaktimatva is in maya upadhi. So we are told now, don't look at the vachyartha. And Tattva Bodha points out, upadhi shunyam shuddha chaitanyam tat pada lakshyarthaha. Okay, so tat pada lakshyarthaha is that which is free of the upadhi, Ishvara's upadhi maya. So tat pada lakshya is satyam jnanam anantam brahma, which is consciousness, which is also the tvam pada lakshya. So it's one consciousness alone who appears as Ishvara with reference to the creation, who appears as jiva. That one consciousness alone takes on this multiple role of Ishvara as well as jiva. Okay. He says here, I am reading from Tattva Bodha, how many limitless consciousnesses do you have? Only one limitless consciousness in which space is, time is, and everything else is. That limitless consciousness because of which all the dividing factors exist, it is one undivided whole. What are the things that can divide? You are sitting there and I am sitting there. What divides? space. So there is a spatial division. Time-wise, there is a division in terms of what existed before and what does not exist now. Object-wise also there is a division. There is a chair, there is a table, this kind of divisions are there. These are the dividing factors through which we arrive at divisions. Now, if we remember what all we have learnt before, we saw that consciousness is manifest as everything in the universe, right? So therefore, the space itself is a manifestation of consciousness. Like this tumbler is a manifestation of steel, space is a manifestation of this one Brahman consciousness. Therefore, time also becomes, okay? Time is that same consciousness. Space is also, it's also the same consciousness alone. Any object that you take here is a manifestation of consciousness. So everything, all of them, all the Namarupas are one Satchit Brahman. So nothing is outside space being born of Brahman. Everything is born of this Brahman, this consciousness. And so being both the Nimitta and Upadana Karanam, nothing is away from it. So where is the division? There is no division. There is only one Brahma, which is Shuddha Chaitanyam. And that Shuddha Chaitanyam is Ishvara, and that Shuddha Chaitanyam is Jiva. Meaning there is no real difference. Difference is only in Upadhi. And what is Upadhi? Is it Satyam or Mithya? It is Mithya. What does Mithya mean? Exactly, okay? Correct. Yes, absolutely, okay? Which has no independent, this thing. So there is no real difference. The Jiva Upadhi, the entire Sukshma Stula Sharira, the whole thing, Stula Sharira, Sukshma Sharira, the whole thing is Mithya. Because it has no existence apart from this consciousness, Brahman. Similarly, Ishwaratva, the status of being Ishvara, is also not independent of Brahman. So, this difference between Jiva and Ishvara is there, no doubt. But the difference itself is Mithya. So, the difference is to be understood at Mithya, then the non-difference can be understood. This non-difference is what is to be understood, and that is what releases the person from the sense of limitation. So in the words, in the Mahavakya Tat Tvam Asi, it does not contradict if you go for the Lakshyartha. There is no contradiction if you go for the Lakshyartha. Okay, this all I took from Tattva Bodha. Now, what happened? My thing stopped recording, I think. Okay. Now Swamiji takes up a very interesting point. Now that we have taken this whole thing, I'll take this small section. He's saying nothing is beyond consciousness. Okay? Because sometimes people will say, you know, it is beyond. Consciousness is beyond. Okay? So he says there is no such thing as beyond consciousness, because that I am adding, because everything is a manifestation of consciousness. Swamiji points out that if you say that consciousness is beyond, beyond means that consciousness transcends, meaning consciousness is not affected. When we say, use the word transcend, what do we really want to convey? We want to say that consciousness is not affected. Theek hai, wo alipt rehta hai. It is not affected. Not affected by what? Not affected by time. Not affected by space. not affected by any condition whatsoever in time and space, simply because it's totally independent. We saw, no, consciousness is that which is independent. So Swamiji says, you can say something is beyond an object because it transcends the object. But here, now you look at this example that I give you, the tumbler. Now tell me, say, tumbler, does it affect the steel? Why? Why will it not affect the steel? Ha ha. Good girl, yay! Vedant samajh gayi. I am so happy. Vedant samajh gayi. ठीक है, उसकी अपने अस्तित्व कोई है नहीं, वो तो दो वस्तु एक ही रियलिटी में होगा तो एक दूसरे को अफेक्ट कर पाएगी, पर जब एक वस्तु है ही नहीं वो उसको कैसे अफेक्ट करेगी? टम्बलर तो बस एक वर्ड है ना, इट इज ओनली अ वर्ड और द रियलिटी इज स्टील. सो हाउ कैन टम्बलर, इनफैक्ट टम्बलर इज स्टील. आप उसकी हकीकत देखोगे तो कोई टम्बलर नहीं है, वो तो स्टील है. आई हैव टू से टम्बलर इज स्टील. No, therefore tumbler does not have capacity to affect because it is not other than steel. Does steel affect steel? You can't say that. So similarly, here there is no tumbler without being steel, right? And here Swamiji says, look at page 67, last line. Time itself is not separate from Atma. Space is not separate from Atma. Ye Bhagwan, bahut awaaz aa rahi hai. ऑब्जेक्ट इज नॉट सेपरेट फ्रॉम आत्मा. आप लोग सब लोग ना अपने वॉल्यूम को म्यूट करो, वीडियो को मत म्यूट करना, क्योंकि मुझे आप लोग की फेस देखना पसंद करती हूँ मैं. वॉल्यूम, हाँ बढ़िया, ठीक है. हाँ, सो स्वामी जी से स्पेस इज नॉट सेपरेट फ्रॉम आत्मा. एनी ऑब्जेक्ट इज नॉट सेपरेट फ्रॉम आत्मा. Yet Atma transcends all of them, meaning Atma is not affected by all of them because Atma is consciousness which is independent, and that is why we call it as spirit, we call it as divine, because of its nature of being unaffected. Okay? I have put a note here. In the presence of consciousness alone, which is you, any object is revealed or illumined. The object that is revealed cannot prove its own existence without your presence as a conscious being. So the isness of that object, you know, tumbler is, steel is, the isness of the object, uska jo honapan hai, haipan, is never separate from the isness that is you, because you have to say I am, I is. तो ये जो I is, जो is इधर है और जो tumbler is, जो is है, ये दोनों is के बीच में कोई फर्क नहीं है. It is just one and the same isness or consciousness, बस अलग रूप में आए. One is in the रूप of Swamini, one is in the रूप of tumbler. That's all. That consciousness has taken the nama rupa of Swamini body. It has taken the nama rupa of tumbler. Iti. So, the isness consciousness you is the substance of the whole universe. Like steel is the substance of the tumbler and everything made of steel. So, as Swamiji says, space is not separate from Atma. Any object is not separate from Atma. And yet Atma transcends all of them. There is no beyond. If Atma is beyond the world, then the world is also beyond Atma. if one is beyond the other, then the other is also beyond this one. So person said, let me be with this Atma beyond and you go to the world beyond. That is all silly. The world is never away from the Vastu. The tumbler is never away from the steel, right? In fact, tumbler is steel. Okay. So any object that you confront, that's why, because such a big statement Swamiji is making now. Any object that you confront is not separate from you, consciousness. You have to add that word consciousness, okay? Any object that you look at, you confront, is not separate from you, the consciousness. When you see me, I am not separate from you. Meaning there is only one thing here, okay? Just naam ke vaaste we say we are different. At Upadhi level, this body is different from that body. But in reality, we are one. That is the truth of the whole thing. Therefore, idam sarvam aham asmi. Very big statements, you know. Idam sarvam, all this. Idam, this. Sarvam, all. Aham. I, asmi, am. All this is me. Okay, the entire thing is myself. This is completely different from our normal understanding. So Swamiji says there is nothing mystic about it. It's a clean equation which should be understood as it is without mysticism or mystic language. So thus the meaning of the word Tvam can only be Chaitanyam or consciousness, which is the self. You can't go beyond that. This is called Lakshyam, the implied meaning. Lakshyam also means target, that which is targeted by the Lakshana, a word that conveys its meaning through implication. So the word Tvam becomes the Lakshana for the Lakshya. It becomes the implied meaning, which is Chaitanyam. Tough, no? Shall I go ahead, or we can stop here at this and we look at this Ishvara part of it next time, because I think it becomes too much, you know. There's a lot of conceptual things have been discussed here. In next, what Swamiji is going to do is only discuss Ishvara and point out that Ishvara has got Maya Upadhi, and that we should look at next time. Okay, because I feel it will be too heavy and we should let it go. So next week, next Friday, we will look from here onwards. This was the toughest part. After this, you know, it's not going to be so difficult. And if you want to look at your Tattva Bodha again, I think it will be very helpful for you. You can read page number 326 onwards up to page number... Very beautiful it is. Yeah, oh wow. In fact, we should read this whole thing, eh? Okay, go up to page 332. Read the whole of 332. And maybe we'll read together again 333 onwards. Okay? With that, we come to a conclusion. And we hope mine is recorded or Komal's is recorded. Somebody's is recorded, yeah? Okay. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om. So Komal, you put that recording, okay, on the, we'll see how it came out. Yeah, I'll see how my recording came out, because I have two fans running here, you know, so I'm not sure how it would have come out. Huh? Okay, huh? So see you guys. Om. Okay, any questions you're welcome to ask, okay, on the Vedanta Satsang group. Please, you're welcome to ask any questions, because this was all pretty tough. Okay, huh? Om, Om. Namo Narayana.
Mm-hmm.